Today's scripture is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one is speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of spirits, but the same. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but in the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is one of those chapters in Scripture which I would invite you to get familiar with. We will be here for a little while, and it is going to be on our minds. And we as elders sense that this is one of those truths that are communicated in this passage that we as a church need to embrace. We need now more than ever to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be led by the Holy Spirit, to know our God and to be able to communicate the gospel, to boldly proclaim the gospel and not be ashamed of the gospel. We need God's presence in our lives at home, in our marriages. We need God's presence at work to guide us in all situations. So this is a season that we sense as a church, the Lord is leading us into a deeper devotion of His Spirit and a following of Him. And so over the past few months, we have sensed that 1 Corinthians is one of those places which helps us to get to know the work and the person of the Holy Spirit. And so that's why we're here. We're going to be here for a little while. So I would invite you to get familiar with this particular chapter and the truths that are taught within it. Because Paul here is addressing the work of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, who He is and what He does. He is the Spirit of God. And so what we see is as we come to chapter 12, which Tim, if you were here last week with us, was able to introduce, is what are spiritual gifts? And the question that Tim got to last week was, why are spiritual gifts given? And he came to two conclusions. Number one, they're given by God for the people of God, for the common good of the church or the people of God. So God gives spiritual gifts to the church. He empowers them for the common good of the whole church. So the Spirit of God empowers spiritual gifts, enables us to carry them out, but also they're for the common good, meaning all of us are to benefit from one another's spiritual giftings. And so today, I would like to go a little bit further into what Paul teaches and ask the question, well, what are spiritual gifts? What are they? When you get that question in the elevator, what's your answer? When your coworker asks you, what are spiritual gifts? What would you say? So before we begin, and I would just point you to the bulletin, I went through and pulled out every place in Scripture where spiritual gifts are mentioned. I wanted you to have this. I find it helpful. It was an exercise I did for myself, and I found it beneficial. So I just reproduced that for you to have. But when we move through every place in Scripture, we get a full painting of what spiritual gifts are, what they're for, and how they're to be used. And so I wanted you to be able to see this so you can have a copy. And some of you, you know, there's lots of questions. How many are there? Well, you can go and count. You won't be able to count them all, which is one of the points of the sermon today, and one of the things that blessed me. And so let me offer a definition. Let's get it before us as we consider today. what are spiritual gifts? And after looking at all of these passages of Scripture, I came up with this definition. And I hope it's a broad definition, but I hope it will be helpful. And by the end of our time together, maybe you'll be able to see why I came to this conclusion. But I would define spiritual gifts as any ability, service, or work, or activity in the life of a believer that is empowered, apportioned, and given by the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is exercised for the edification of the church and the glory of God through Jesus. Any ability, service, or work, or activity in the life of a believer that is empowered, apportioned, and given by the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is exercised for the edification of the church and the glory of God through Jesus. So Paul has on his mind in this letter to the 1 Corinthians this notion of the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a dominant theme throughout the whole book. He first mentions it in the opening words of the chapter in verse 7 of chapter 1. He says this about the church in Corinth, which is amazing if you know anything about the church of Corinth. You know they're messed up people. Have you read the book, the rest of the letter? They have lots of issues. They have lots of problems. And yet, he begins by saying these words, "You are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's amazing to me. Spiritual gifting is present in the midst of a church that's messed up. That's very encouraging for me. Because I want to see the Spirit of God manifested in our lives. We as elders want to see you walking in the Spirit and by the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. And yet, we all know where each of us are messed up in our own unique ways. We're not finished yet. God's still working on us. So this gives me great encouragement. But part of what, we're going to look at a couple of general points about spiritual gifts first before we get into some details. And what you see here is, they're only temporary, right? They're here for a little while until the Lord Jesus comes, right? You're not lacking in spiritual gifts until the revealing of Jesus Christ, which means until he comes again. So spiritual gifts are needed. They're temporary necessities, even though they will not be eternal realities. So that's an interesting point. Paul emphasizes this in chapter 13, when he says, "As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away." So the perfect is Jesus. So we exercise spiritual gifts imperfectly. We prophesy in part. We speak in tongues in part. We don't know things fully as we ought to. And yet, we still exercise our spiritual gifts. But when Christ comes, the need for that kind of gifting will be done away with. When the perfect arrives, the partial will pass away. So spiritual gifts are a temporary reality that we need as the church, but not eternal. Only temporary necessities. When the perfect comes, then everything will pass away. And why have they been given? Paul emphasizes this in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, where he says, as he counsels the church on how to exercise spiritual gifts, remember, the church is the people of God, so this is for all believers here who are listening to this, right? Strive to excel, this is 1 Corinthians 14:12. Strive to excel in building up the church. This is what the purpose of spiritual gifts are for, edifying the church. He says this again in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, when he talks about Christ ascending into heaven and giving gifts. And he says the purpose of those gifts were to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. In other words, the ultimate goal for all spiritual gifting is to edify the people of God and build up the church. That doesn't mean build up buildings. It's not brick and mortar. We know that. He's talking about edifying people, believers. Spiritual gifts are giving to encourage you. So my prayer today is, Lord, will you help me to encourage your people today? When you come to church, are you encouraged? Are you lifted up? Are you built up? I'm striving with all my heart to do that today. So I'm speaking to you as one completely dependent upon the Lord to do what I can't do. I can't encourage you in the Lord. I can't build you up, but if the Spirit of God is present among us, I know He can. So some of you, you're going to stay awake today because you're about to fall asleep, but you want to go home encouraged. And I'm pleading with you, there's something here for us. There's truth in God's word that we all need to hear, every believer in this room. If you're a believer here, you need to hear this because we are supposed to encourage each other. The gifting that the Spirit of God puts within us is to edify the body of Christ. Your gifting is intended to be used for other believers. Are you using it? Are you using it? That's one massive question. So spiritual gifts are given for the edification of the church. So now Paul jumps into greater detail in chapter 12. And I want you to look at verse 1 with me. Whatever your translation is, he says this in verse 1 of chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, it can be translated brothers and sisters. It's adelphoi, which means all siblings in a family. Brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. So we need to know this. And he says, now concerning spiritual gifts. The now concerning goes back to chapter 7, where Paul begins to answer questions that the Corinthians had asked him previously. There's about six things that the church had sent him either by letter or in person and said, Paul, we'd like to know about these things. He's going down the list and answering them now. So now concerning, now pay attention to this. In your translation, I suspect the next two words are spiritual gifts. Now concerning spiritual gifts. In the Greek, there's only one word there. So the phrase spiritual gifts actually translates one Greek word, pneumatikon, which means things of the Spirit. So literally, what Paul says here is, now concerning spiritual, we translate it spiritual, it means things of the Spirit. Now concerning spiritual, I don't want you to be uninformed, or concerning the spiritual. So he's using the words that they have asked him. And he's saying, we've asked about Paul, tell us about the spiritual. And your translation will have either probably spiritual gifts, but it's exceedingly unclear and not easy to discern if it should be spiritual gifts or spiritual persons, because it could be either one. The translators then read the context and say spiritual gifts because that's what Paul's talking about. But it could be either one. So their question is, Paul, tell us about spiritual things, or tell us about the things of the Spirit, things concerning the Spirit. And so now Paul begins. Now this is important because in verse 4, Paul uses three words to explain the spiritual or things of the Spirit. So the first gift we hit 2 weeks ago. So we got verse 1, Paul, tell us about spiritual things. And then the next phrase, verses 2 and 3, Paul talks about regeneration. He talks about spiritual life. He says the first thing you need to know about the Holy Spirit is he's he who gives life. Spiritual life comes from the Holy Spirit. That we dealt with 2 weeks ago. So now go with me to verse 4 and look at what he says. So Paul, tell us about the spiritual. And he says, now there are varieties of gifts. There's the first word. But the same Spirit. There are varieties of service. Second word. But the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities. But the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So Paul uses three words, gifts, services, service, and activity, to explain the spiritual. So that's where we land. And he's notice in here, the entire Trinity is active in dispensing gifts, service, and activities, right? Look at it again. Varieties of gifts by the same Spirit. Varieties of service by the same Lord. Varieties of activities by the same God. We have Spirit, Lord, refers to Jesus, and God. Paul's not explaining job descriptions. He's not giving the Lord does this, Jesus does that, God does this, and the Holy Spirit does that. He's not saying that. He uses the word one or same about a dozen times in this paragraph, meaning all spiritual activity issues from one divine person. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three are active in applying spiritual gifts, spiritual reality, spiritual service to our lives. So the question, when you think about spiritual gifts, if you're like me, when I sat down before this sermon, before preparing, when I thought about spiritual gifts, I was like, I don't know, there's like 19 or 21 of them in Scripture. There's not. He says right here, there's varieties of gifts, and we'll get to the words, varieties of service and varieties of activities. And he's explaining the activity of the Spirit of God in the church of God. So he has a very broad understanding of the activity of the Holy Spirit. This is astonishing to me. So the first word, and this is the word most of us are familiar with when we get to gifts. Many of you know, how many of you know the Greek word? It's charisma, charismata, right? It's that root word of charis, which is grace. So he says that's the first word. It means that which is freely given generously. It's a gift. So the Spirit of God gives a generous gift of grace to his people. Different kinds, various graces. It's plural. So he literally says, you want to know about the spiritual? God gives graces to you. Different kinds, varieties of kinds, freely given. No one deserves this. No one can command this or demand it. It is freely given by the Spirit of God. Up to him to decide. So that's the first thing we know. Spiritual gifts, the receiving of gifts is an act of grace from God to us. He's giving us generously part of himself and his own grace. Next, various kinds of gifts. Next, various kinds of service. Diakonon is the Greek word. You recognize it. We have deacons in our church, right? That means to serve. So he says various kinds of service, meaning this is simple things that we do, the kind of activities that we do, and there's different kinds of it. These also are enabled by the Spirit of God. And then lastly, he uses a word which is translated activities, which is ernogimai. It looks like energy if we spell it out. This is how we get our word energy, meaning the Spirit of God not only supplies you with gifts of grace and then spiritual service to do it, but he gives you the very energy to carry it out. The very action of living out the calling of the Christian life is supplied by the Holy Spirit. So Paul uses these three words to explain the activity of the Holy Spirit. And he says there are varieties of them. Varieties of gifts, varieties of service, and variety of activities. If you had given me a quiz and said, does activities or various activities enabled by the Spirit qualify as the Holy Spirit, I would have said no. It's not in the list. I would have failed the quiz. And yet we see that God provides various ways in which his Spirit gets manifested through the lives of his people. Now, why? Look at verse 7. To each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. A manifestation of the Spirit, meaning God, his Spirit within us, dwelling in his people, is intended to be seen. It's intended to be demonstrated. If you manifest something, you bring it to light. So whatever grace or service or activity, that word can also be work, whatever the Lord has given you to do or express, it's intended to be seen for the common good. Meaning the whole body of Christ is to be blessed by the enabling of God's Spirit to you. And I'm praying throughout this whole morning that every one of you in this room, if you're a Christian, you're thinking, what is it? What am I supposed to do? What is the gift of grace to me? What is my service? What is my spiritual activity? Every one of us ought to be thinking that. Because we've also seen in verse 7, to whom is it given? Who receives this? What's the first two words? Each, singular, every one of God's children gets this gift. Tim pointed it out last week. Every child of God has been equipped by God to do something, to serve in some way, or to express some spiritual activity. And the question is, well, what is it? So God's Spirit dwells within his people, and he then intends for his presence to be manifested, to be seen and demonstrated to his people around him for the edification of the people. So then what are those gifts? What are they? This is a laborious point, but I want us to work our way all the way through it. I'm going to read you every portion of Scripture where spiritual gifts are shown in Scripture so that you'll see how many different kinds there are, and you will notice Paul will easily move from activities to persons, and both are gifts. He will point to people or persons who are gifts, as well as abilities that are gifts. Easily, he does this as if there's no problem. So, in verses 8 to 10, just keep moving with me through 1 Corinthians. For to one, Paul's given examples. Okay, you want to know about the spiritual? Okay, here we go. Here's some examples of gifts, service, and activities. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, literally word of wisdom, logos of Sophia. And to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Notice the same source. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Pause for just a second. I happen to be talking with several people about spiritual gifts. This is a question mark, right? For many people who say, well, this is a spiritual gift of faith, and yet, aren't we all required to exercise faith? Yes, this is different from saving faith. This is the ability to believe for extraordinary things or unusual callings in the moment. So this is beyond saving faith. This is a different kind of faith. All believers must exercise faith in coming to salvation, and yet this is something beyond that. And so to one is given the gift of faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So I count 9 there that Paul lists, and notice this is not exhaustive. As we move through all of these lists, none of them are identical. None of them are the same. They all include different kinds of gifts. Paul is not intending to give an exhaustive list. So if you've ever taken, how many of you have ever taken a spiritual gift inventory? Okay, not quite as many as I suspected. They're helpful, but they don't go far enough because they can't. It's impossible. So if you've ever taken a spiritual gift inventory and you're like, I don't know. I just don't see me on there. That's great. I have great news for you. It doesn't necessarily mean you're not spiritually gifted. You might have some other expression of service or spiritual activity which you need to be exercising in God's church. And so we'll keep moving. Down at the end of the chapter, Paul adds a couple of more things. So go to the end of chapter 12, verses 27 and 28. He says, now you are the body of Christ, which is next week. We'll talk about what does it mean to be the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We've all received the same Spirit. We're grafted into Christ through faith. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles. Notice how he moves from people to activities or abilities, then miracles, gifts of healing, helping, administering, and various gifts of tongues. So he adds about 5 more things and repeats about 3. But he said there are people who are enabled to hold certain offices by the Holy Spirit, and also special abilities are granted by the Holy Spirit. All of this is the work of the Holy Spirit. So this involves not just particular kinds of doing, but ways of living among God's people, ways of being in a particular office. And so notice that. And then moving into Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 8, Paul lists some more different kinds of giftings. For as in one body, you'll notice the same kind of language, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, meaning we're spiritually connected. The people of God are spiritually connected. And I don't think we get that often. What you ache and burden for and about ought to have, it does have an effect, a spiritual effect on us who are connected to you. And we just don't want to share those things. We don't want to be weak in front of other people. And yet, in some measure, we need to be vulnerable with each other. So let's keep moving. Having gifts then that differ according to the grace given to us. Notice that. Your gifting is not going to be the same. It's not up to you to decide what gift you get. Don't stack the deck on the spiritual gift inventory so you can be this, what, or that. It is up to the Lord to give you that kind of grace, right? He decides. There are differing kinds of grace given to us, so let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if serving in serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who acts with mercy, do it with cheerfulness. So one astonishing thing here to me is you'll see that some of these gifts that are listed, you don't necessarily need the Holy Spirit to exercise them, do you? Leadership. Are there great and godless leaders in the world? Yes. Do you have to have the Spirit of God to encourage or exhort someone? Right? Steve Jobs exhorted all kinds of people. Do great work or you'll lose your job. At least that's my impression of him. I have no idea if that's really true. But you can have someone who exhorts you to good work who doesn't have the Spirit of God or even contributing. There are many godless philanthropists who give lots of money away to good causes, and yet there's no Spirit of God in them. So sometimes we look at these spiritual gifts and get very confused. Like, how does this work? And even leadership, right? Leaders, these kind of things are interesting. The point that Paul makes is when you exercise these kinds of giftings in two instances, that's when the Spirit is active. And it's for the people of God and empowered by the Spirit of God. Right? You may be a good leader. You then come to faith in Christ. And you suddenly begin to use that ability, natural ability or learned, maybe you were trained. Suddenly, you want to mobilize that gift of leadership for the sake of the people of God and give him glory. Or maybe you're just a generous person. And prior to coming to Christ, you gave money freely. You bought everybody coffee at work and brought donuts and everybody loved you. And yet suddenly, when you come to faith, there's a desire in you to bless the people of God in a particular way. The Spirit of God motivates and empowers these kinds of gifts for the good of his people and for the glory of Jesus. That's when natural abilities are shifted into an exercise, I believe, that is spiritually beneficial for the people of God. So we'll keep moving. And one example, many of you get discouraged when you think of, I don't have a spiritual gift, yet I have some natural abilities. Tim mentioned Bezalel last week. And Bezalel was an Old Testament guy who was a carpenter. He's a carpenter, a stone cutter, and an engraver. And he's the first person in Scripture who was filled with the Holy Spirit and equipped to build the Ark of the Covenant, the tabernacle, put together the curtains of the tabernacle. He's a construction worker. And yet, he was spiritually gifted by God in order to be a blessing to his people and bring great glory. And I think some of you, can you not mobilize the gifts and passions that you, maybe there's somebody in this room who are great with finances, and you want to bless the people of God and say, I'd love to lead a class on how to have a budget and manage your home finances. I want to be a blessing to the people of God. Might that not be motivated by the Spirit of God to be a blessing to his people and bring great glory to his name? I mean, if a carpenter can glorify God in what he's doing, and it doesn't mean he only has to build churches, right? Everything we do reflects on who we are. And if we are Christians, everything we do ought to be with excellence so that we're not ashamed to have our name attached to it. And because our name is connected with Jesus, right? We are Christians. We are Christ followers. So what we do with our lives ought not to bring any kind of shame on the name of Jesus. That doesn't matter what your employment is. So a little story. My son happens to be roommates with the grandson of a very famous evangelist and preacher. You'd know his name if I were to say it. And when they began rooming together, the grandson said, guys, we are not having crazy wild drinking parties here because my grandfather's name is at stake. So we're going to live straight because of his name. Well, how much better if he would have said, guys, we're Christians. We are not going to do anything that would bring any shame on the name of Jesus. I commend grandson for respecting grandfather's name. Don't hear me diminishing that. But how many of us live our lives in everything we do? I bear the name of Jesus. I want to glorify him in all that I do. At work, whatever you do, in speech, right? And that, those two things, if you want a summary definition of spiritual gifts, Peter's a simple guy. So let's look at the end, at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. He essentially says there's two kinds of gifts. There are gifts of speaking and gifts of service. 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11. As each of you have received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. You heard that before? Whoever speaks as one who speaks to oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. So a couple points. To each has been given a gift. Use it to serve one another. There is you have been given a gift, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life. Use it to serve each other. It's not merely for personal edification. It is for corporate edification. So use it as good stewards of God's varied grace. A steward is someone who is put in charge of somebody else's stuff and is to handle it well. The grace of God has been poured out within us. We are to be stewards of that varied grace and use it well for the benefits of others and also for the glory of God the Father. Whatever your gifting is, you can use it to bring glory to the Lord. And empowered by the Holy Spirit, prayerfully, I believe many things we don't think of as spiritual gifts can be spiritual gifts. For example, I wonder if there's a spiritual gift of house cleaning. This week, a request came out from a lady in our church who recently experienced the death of her mother, who she had brought with her to live with her and to take care of her. And after a mother dies, she's a bit overwhelmed, right? Number one, with grief. Number two, how do I make it through all of mom's stuff? That's a hard thing. And it's also a hard thing to ask for help. And she did. I think this is one of those things the email said where I need some help. And I don't want to really ask for help, but I need some help. It only went to the women, so the guys, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But what is it within a heart of a woman who would say, I'll put my schedule on hold. I will stop what I'm doing. I will go walk with this sister and help her through all of that. Grief and the logistics of handling mom's precious things. Is that a spiritual gift? Is that one of those activities enabled by the Spirit back in verse 4? I wonder. Or I wonder if, is website maintenance a spiritual gift? I mean, if you're a woman who has a PhD in this church in mathematics and can run computational circles around everybody in this place, and you hear a need for a website manager and you're like, I think I can probably figure that stuff out. I've had a little experience in coding, and that would be great for the church and edifying for the body of Christ, and I'd like to do that. Is that maybe the Spirit of God moving in someone? Is that a spiritual gift? I wonder. I wonder if setting up for communion and turning on Keurig machines and opening doors and making sure the thermostat is comfortable and standing at the front door, smiling in the name of Jesus and welcoming people and turning on TV monitors and lights and pushing slides who hide in the back and nobody ever sees and singing and praying during the service and on Tuesday nights for a long list of people who are aching. Are those the kinds of spiritual activities that Paul is talking about? Or the spiritual acts of service enabled by the Spirit of God, empowered by the Spirit of God? Right? If it's for self-glorification, it's not a spiritual gift. If you come in and set up for communion to be praised by people, that's not a spiritual gift. If you come in and organize chairs and make sure everything is ready for the body of Christ to gather, that's not a spiritual gift if you want to get glory from it. But if you're doing it, and most of you, you don't have any idea who's in the booth. You don't have any idea who does the website. You don't have any idea who sets up communion, even though he comes in every Saturday faithfully or straightens the chairs. You don't have any idea what goes on around here. And yet these people don't serve so that they get praise. Why are they serving? I think it's because the Spirit of God says, I want to do something for God's people. I want to be a small group leader. I want to be a blessing. I want to pray my heart out and see this church explode with passion for the glory of God. And I want to see marriages healed. And I want to see people growing in the Lord. And I want to see lonely people know that we care for them. I want to see leaders raised up. Many of you are praying for these things. Is that a movement of the Spirit of God? What's the point? I think there's a lot of things that qualify as spiritual gifts. I never had a category for. Spiritual service. Serving. Various kinds of service enabled by the Spirit of God. Various kinds of activities or work. Energy being poured out. That's what that word is for the people of God by the Holy Spirit. So, why? For the edification of God's people, and for the glory of God through Jesus Christ. That's what the Spirit of God does. He works within us to help us glorify Him and be a blessing to the body of Christ around us. So what's your spiritual gift? What's your spiritual service? What's your spiritual activity? I want you to have a category. If you see an email who somebody who needs help, think of prayerfully discern. Okay, I can do that. I can go help. Is the Lord leading us? We as elders, we want to be a church that is led by the Spirit. Now, as leaders, our greatest problem is going to be all of you who say, I think I need to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to get involved in this, I want to do that kind of activity. I hope that's the problem we have. That would be a great problem. If everybody was to be motivated and say, I want to exercise my spiritual gift, activity, or service, I want to get moving. I want you to do that. I want you to begin to, I want everybody, every believer in this room, I want you to begin to say, how can I be a blessing to God's people? What can I do? Financial advice, helping someone with a budget, helping someone move boxes and clean up, whatever it is. I think there is a way that God's Spirit is moving. Teaching, praying, sitting with wounded people, whatever. Let us struggle and be overwhelmed with all of you who say, I want to be spiritually active for the edification of the body of Christ and to glorify my God in heaven through Jesus Christ. That's what I'm praying for. And I wonder, what would this church be if we saw an influx of that kind of motivated by the Holy Spirit service and activity? How would our prayer time be different? What would the Lord do? So let's pray. I want you to pray with me, please. Father, I ask, would you pour out your Spirit upon your people? Would you move within us to equip us to do what you have called us to do? Please forgive us for belittling some activities and some service that to us seems insignificant, when by your Spirit you have led people to do unseen things. Would you bless the servants who are unseen in this church? Pour out your grace on the prayers who day and night come before you, pleading for you to be kind and merciful, and pour out a blessing and grant renewed hearts and heal marriages. And give us boldness at work. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would move among us in mighty ways. So would you flow through us? Would you flow through your people? And Holy Spirit, I pray, grant new life to some in this room who do not know what it means to be born again. Grant new spiritual life to a person who has not yet received your Holy Spirit. I pray that today would be that day. And I thank you, Jesus, for giving us a promise that if anyone would come to you, you would never turn us away. And coming to you is believing in you and trusting in you. Give all of us the ability to do that. both for the edification of your people and your church and for the great glory of your name. So, Father, flow through us, I pray. Amen.